This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, October 12th. Well, it's crop report day, so we don't expect to see a lot of activity before the report is released, which will be 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Yesterday, markets fairly quiet as well, although we did see some pressure coming into the soybean market, which broke into a new low on the front month Novembers. The back month's not quite a new low, but still lower nonetheless. Corn was fairly quiet, wheat too, drifting lower and looking for some support here, which in Chicago really is just a couple cents below us. I think we'll catch. It's just a minor breakout point to the upside that we're now testing, but I would think that we'll find pretty decent support on any deeper of a correction. Kansas City still has a good 7-8 cents to go before it touches that same level of support. Minneapolis, of course, just quietly grinding its way higher. Very narrow trading range, but still moving higher. And of course, this is still all a component of the drought from the northern plains. Part of it, too, is watching the oats market surge higher. We know that there's going to be a battle for acres come next spring, and this is going to be for pretty much all the spring crops or spring planted crops in the northern plains. And of course, that includes spring wheat, oats, barley, canola, and this goes up into the Canadian prairies as well. So this is just, I think, still in the early stages of a bull market in spring wheat in particular. But again, all of those small grains, spring crops that are grown in the northern plains and the Canadian prairies, that is also going to compete with corn and soybeans, in particular across North Dakota, western Minnesota, northern South Dakota, all of those areas that could swap back and forth between the row crops or small grains, and all of them need an increase in acres to make up for the loss that we had this year. So it's going to be epic. You know, last spring we saw a major battle for acres between corn and soybeans primarily. We didn't, you know, anticipate the intense drought that we got, of course. So now you've thrown all of these other crops into the mix that are running at very tight supplies. And even with average yields on average acreage, it wouldn't be enough to replenish your supplies. So you do need an increase in acres. And again, you know, where's it going to come from? You know, some of it may have been prevent plant that you could bring back into the mix, but that's hard to say. And again, they're all going to be competing with each other. So that will be an interesting thing to watch, but that's probably going to establish some significant highs. We saw that in early May of this year, and most likely that will continue again into next May, as usually by that time window, decisions have been made, seeding is done, or for the most part, and it's no longer about battling for acres. Then it becomes what Mother Nature is going to dish up for the growing season. But for now, we've seen the wheat market pull back several days, just in a slow trickle down, except for the spring wheat Minneapolis. World wheat prices were higher last week everywhere except the United States, which took a fairly big hit. You know, part of that there is with the Gulf ports opening back up and harvest for corn and soybeans in full steam ahead. Most of the logistics are going to be centered on corn and beans. That's the issue at hand. So wheat kind of takes a second billing here to those two crops. And I think that's part of the pressure that we see this time of year. It's just, they're just not interested in moving. So you don't see those basis bumps for wheat, in particular, anything that's going to move down the Mississippi to the Gulf. Same time, of course, you've got wheat maturing in the southern hemisphere, and harvest has already begun in Argentina. It's probably starting in Australia. So we're looking at good production coming out of Australia. It won't be the record like we saw last year, but it's going to rank up there probably 30, 31 million tons compared to last year's record 33 million tons. Argentina is more of a question mark in more ways than one. We had a lot of dryness that extended across the major wheat areas of Argentina late in the growing season, which still continues now. And so that's probably going to have shaved off some of the top end of yield there. At the same time, we've had a lot of wheat in Argentina that was GMO planted wheat. And the concern is that it's going to mix in with the rest of the crop. We're waiting on Brazil to make a decision about if it would even accept Argentine wheat. That would be a pretty big blow if it didn't, because it takes, 7 to 8 million tons of wheat per year. Most of that comes from Argentina and it's hard red winter wheat. So if they decide not to take it, that's going to push that business to the broader market in the world, which primarily would be the United States and Russia. And of course, Russian prices have been increasing steadily over the last several weeks. My guess is that Brazil will go ahead and accept it, but it will require certificates verifying that the wheat is GMO free. The question then becomes, will the private buyers take it? But I would imagine if it's certified GMO free that the private buyers would be comfortable taking that wheat. It's just something that's out there, and obviously it's in the Argentine pipeline at some point. And if buyers start rejecting Argentine wheat, that changes the dynamics completely for the wheat market, especially at least for the next few months. So it's an interesting situation that they put themselves into, but we'll see how that pans out. The original announcement date was October 14th. Now they're saying maybe November sometime, but it's going to have to be soon because they're harvesting. They're going to have to decide what they're going to do with the Argentine wheat. So we're all ears when it comes to that decision. Russian FOB offers at 317 is a 9-year high. And I was just mentioning that, Russian offers have been rising steadily over the last several weeks. That's a combination of slow farmer selling, strong domestic demand, a much smaller wheat crop than they expected to see, too, and the ruble moving higher. Crude oil prices have shot higher. That's pulling the ruble value up, and that's making Russian wheat more expensive on the export market. So clearly, that's going to support world prices as they tend to set world price. So even though the U.S. wheat price has declined last week and continuing to do so somewhat this week, world prices are rising, and that will continue to support the U.S. market as well. That's why I don't think we're going to see a major break in wheat, even through the Southern Hemisphere harvest. Wheat might stall out and just go flat, but as long as world prices continue to move higher, I see little reason why U.S. wheat continue to go lower. And, we're still part of the export market, and it's with Russian prices in particular being the driver of world price higher, that offers yet more support for the U.S. market. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.